Not Ezra, Nehemiah it is.
Oh, I thought you see that one.
Okay. Internet live at Moch and Shlomo. At Moch and Yaakov, sorry. Don't mention that over here.
What is that?
You love Moch and Shlomo.
Okay. Whenever I see Moch and Shlomo guys like on Shabbat, they're like, oh, hey, what are you doing on this side of the road? You know? Why are those two?
I don't know.
It's a joke.
Isn't this a topic? Yeah, we're talking about Achdus now, you guys. Hey, come along here. There's good food on this side. You have the good food over there. We brought it all over here. Okay, let's go. Let's start. How does it start? Yeah, here I go. All right. Yeah, now it's started. Okay. Lag Ba'Omer. We're going to discuss Lag Ba'Omer. We discussed already about Spiras HaOmer, now we're going to discuss Lag Ba'Omer. What's special about Lag Ba'Omer? So,
you get the shave.
You get the shave, that's true. Now, what's the reason? I mean, we can explain that as well, but maybe if we have time. What's the reason? What's the makor in the Torah for Lag Ba'Omer? Did you know there was a makor in the Torah for Lag Ba'Omer? You didn't, nor did I. But there is. What's the makor? What's the source in the Torah for Lag Ba'Omer? Now Lag Ba'Omer is only a minute. It's brought down in Halacha because that was the time that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva ceased to die, and therefore we stop our mourning from Lag Ba'Omer, or from Lag Ba'Omer onwards, or on that day of Lag Ba'Omer, different minhagim, right? But so Lechara, there shouldn't be any source in the Torah for such a thing. But no, it's brought down in Svarim Kedumim, in earlier Svarim, Shem the Baal Shem Tov, or even Divrei Ari. It's really the makor in Divrei Ari, and it says, "What's the pasuk in the Torah which represents Lag Ba'Omer?" This is a pasuk. Everyone's heard about the covenant that was made between Yaakov and Lavan, yeah? Not the sheep, the covenant. They made the stones. What's it called in the Torah? Gal-Aid. Gal-Aid. Gal is Gimel Lamed, that's Lag. Aid means, it's a Gal, means it's a mountain of a testimony, right? Between me, Lavan, and Yaakov, between us. That's Hebrew. Gal-Aid is Gal Sa'adut, it's called in Aramaic. But Gal means the monument, or the amount of stones being put up, you know, as a monument. Aid means as a testimony. So this is ruled as the makor for Lag Ba'Omer. Now, what's the connection between Lag Ba'Omer and this? So first, in order to understand this, you have to understand what exactly was this testimony between Lavan and Yaakov. What was the testimony of? So Chazal explained that Lavan represented Umas HaOlam, the nations of the world. And after Yaakov, before Yaakov, the children of the others became from them nations of the world. We have Yishmael, we have Esau. Yaakov, his mitato is shalom. There's no psolim. There's no bad children. His children, it was complete. There was no it aravu. There was no mixture of good with bad. That was what represented in the Gal-Aid. Gal-Aid represented that Yaakov now reached a stage where he was free from Tumas Okum, where he was free from the impurities of the world. From Gal-Aid, he was separate from Lavan. This testimony that he was making with Lavan was a testimony that they're not going to cross and be connected anymore. Yaakov's not going to cross that Gal-Aid and connect to the other nations of the world in any way. That was a testimony to separate. So we see by Bilam, the story with Bilam and his female donkey, right? Right? So you see in Chazal that the donkey, Bilam, wanted to cross that barrier, wanted to make Klal Yisrael reconnect with the Goyim, and which he was somewhat succeeded in that. And we see that 24,000, right, Jews were killed. Derech Agav, it's brought down in the throne. Those 24,000 Jews that were killed through Bilam, through his curse, Kalem, that mixed with the Goyim, right? That's against, it's brought down in Sarim, that's against the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Now, they were supposed to be a tikkun of those 24,000. And it wasn't a complete tikkun, it wasn't a complete fixing, so that's why they died in this period. Because that's why they're in the period before Lag. You understand? They're in the period before Lag Ba'omer. Because they still had a bit of that psolet, a bit of that ra that was mixed up in them. Now, let's go back to understand. Bilam with the donkey, he went in, the donkey pushed him against the wall. So Yonatan ben Uziel explains, what wall was this? This was the monument, Galeid, to remind Bilam that you can't cross that wall. Because that wall represents the dividing line between the Jewish people and their purity and Ummah Sa'olam, the other nations of the world. And that was the wall that Bilam was trying to cross, which we say he somewhat succeeded. So that's the understanding of Lag Ba'Omer. So Lag Ba'Omer represents that the Jewish people reached that level of purity in which they're free from the impurities of Mitzrayim and Umot HaOlam and the nations of the world. They've purified themselves. And that's the celebration of Lag Ba'Omer. That's according to the Torah, right? According to this Diriari. Now, what does that mean to us? And how does that exactly work? Like we explained, what's the purpose of this Sefirah Sa'omer? We're coming close towards where? Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the complete purity of the Jewish people. When Pascha Zumatash on Nachash, when was removed from us the the dirt of the Nachash, Hakadmoni, the Yetzirah, the snake, yeah, the Yetzirah, the snake, the Yetzirah, which represents the Yetzirah. That means the Jewish people reached again the level of Adam HaRishon. So complete purity came at Matan Torah. So Lag Ba'Omer is only somewhat of a purity. You understand what I'm saying? Everyone understands here? Yeah? Okay. So what's this to do with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? What's it? We going out to Miron, we cut our heads, we shave. What's it to do with any of these things? It seems like Rabbi, so okay, but that's not what we do. We go, so that's also Minagari. The Minagari says he used to take his son and, you know, when he had a chalaka on his third year and cut his hair. And that used to be done on Lag Ba'Omer. What's the cutting of hair to do with any of this? So it's brought down.
Wait, can you say, they would cut, instead of doing it on the child's third birthday, they would do it on Lag Ba'Omer?
They would do it on Lag Ba'Omer, yeah. They'd go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and cut his head. Why? What's it do with anything?
They do that still, or no?
Yeah, they do that still. A lot of people, you're going to get hundreds of thousands of Jews going to the kever Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, and doing halakha, right? And on Lag Ba'Omer, what's so special about Lag Ba'Omer?
Isn't that weird? Because then you get... On Lag Ba'Omer, you get a bunch of
jewel
all in one spot.
First of all, let's try and understand it. So first of all, what's this concept of not cutting the hair for 3 years and then the third year cutting it?
Like a
so
tree.
Oh, the grow brings, like Orla. There's a concept of Orla. The child is Atum. The child is somewhat sealed away from Dibur, from speaking. The first 3 years, it's brought down, he's more animalistic. After 3 years, he now begins to speak properly, he now begins to express himself, he's a different level of consciousness. Even in psychology they have this. Even in psychology, after 3 years, yeah, there's a concept of a child having more of a cognitive mind, right? So it's brought down in the Ramchal. The first 3 years is like, you know, you learn, I'm sure with Rabbi Gershwin, the spheres. So you've learned the three lower spheres are what? Yesod, the foundation. Hod, which is, I don't translate, Hod is like the Midah of Aaron, Hod. And Netzach, the Midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. You've heard of those things, yeah? Netzach, Hod, Yesod, no? What's the first? From down, down up. Netzach, Hod, Yesod is from up down. You saw Netzach from down up. Those are the 3 years. Those are against the Ramchal says. Those are against those first 3 years.
Is the cutting of the hair derisive?
No. These are all minhagim. This is minagari. This is not even called down even in halacha. It's minagari. So now, what's this concept? So the Ari himself explains that the concept of hair, right, is dinim. The concept of hair is gvuras, is din. So when the cutting of the hair is the removal of the dinim, right? So what does it mean, the removal of the dinim? Dinim, extra dinim, too much dinim is a bad thing. It's connecting you with, you know, we want to remove extra din from us. That's why a woman, when she gets married, covers her hair. Because a woman's hair is very much din. That's why even when they're, you know, religious girls, tie their hair. For tzniyus, right? It's an attractive thing. Men, it's less attractive. You know, you don't... Now maybe in America, you know, have long hair, guys, you know, I don't know what. It's less... Maybe they're Nazirim, I have no idea.
Why is it, wait, what do you mean it's din? Like, I've heard it's din, what does that mean?
Din means it can pull you into the wrong places.
Din. Like, din will be bestowed upon you, or you will...
It's ma'orer din. It brings on din, extra din. Din means, but Edom represents din. Right? Edom. Esav is the psalot of Yitzhak, which is the psalot of Din. Edom. Adom. Right? Red. Red, you know, in bullfights, red. Red represents, generally speaking, desires and stuff like that. So extra Din usually comes out in desires. You find that people who have long hair, or who have long hair, generally speaking, right? Men, the people who are a little bit frivolous, they connect easily.
I thought that was more of like a hot
hair,
right?
Huh? Like hot hair. I don't know, it could be also. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
And people who shave their hair generally don't connect. That's why the, what's it called? The, how do you call these hairs? These, not mang, the, not skinners, the, there's orange guys, the...
Buddhists,
yeah. They don't connect with women, so they shave their hairs.
Don't connect with...
Well, they don't connect, so they shave their hairs. They're not proper connecting. Okay, it doesn't matter now. That's just,
Kabbalah.
By the way. It's not Kabbalah, that's just... It's not Kabbalah, it's not Kabbalah. Kabbalah, yeah, we don't learn these sort of things. This is just simple pshat. Now, according to that...
Is that why they wear orange? Is like red?
I don't know why orange. Orange is a combination of red and yellow. Yellow, generally speaking, according to Chazal, Chazal has understanding of colors. No. Yellow, according to Chazal. Where do you get yellow in the Torah? Yellow you buy Mitzurah. Yerakarek is yellow. Yarok in Lashon Chazal is, yeah, Tzaras. You know what Tzaras is? Leprosy. Spiritual leprosy is yellow. Yellow means dead. Leprosy is the deadening of the skin. So yellow means death. Yellow means disconnection. Right? Usually a person, yellow is, extra yellow is a concept of disconnection. That's why Michelangelo, the guy who wrote the, you know, drew those pictures of the wheat, he had too much yellow in his pictures because he was disconnected. He was a bit of a meshuggah. Right? He was disconnected. So he has too much yellow in his colors. No, I'm telling you, say it's...
What does it say about, like,
red? Red is a concept of... I don't know, I'm just telling you what colors are. I don't know.
They don't really look yellow.
Yeah. I am speaking about yellow men here. But red, I'm just telling you the colors. Red means very... It means tibers, it means din. That's Edom, it's red. Blue, you know where Taurus is blue. Blue is Tcheles. Blue reminds you of the Yam of the Shemaim of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you read it, blue is Ruchani. Let's say a person that likes purple is a combination of blue and red. So blue means they're spiritual, and yet they're practical and earthy. So a lot of women like purple, those type of colors. And yellow, orange according to that, would be a combination of red and yellow. That means somewhat based here, and yet somewhat up there. I don't know what it is. Yeah, orange is a...
It's interesting because they're on the...
Which one is it?
Like red,
red
and blue.
Red means what?
Red means... red is physicality.
And so which... That doesn't mean up there. The yellow means...
Yellow means like not disconnected. So it means connected and yet disconnected. So I don't know what that means.
Up there means disconnected?
Yeah. Yellow means disconnected. Means death means not to be connected with here. So it's like a bit of a steerer. Orange is a bit of a funny color. Because orange means is a combination of red and yellow. Yellow means to be disconnected. And yet it means to be connected. So I don't know what orange really means.
It's interesting because red and
blue... It's a steerer in a sense.
Okay, let's get back to Lag Boma.
Let's back to Lag Boma.
Red and blue are like the most extreme difference in wavelengths.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know that.
Blue is like the most, I think the highest
frequency.
Highest frequency is blue. Lowest frequency is red.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to Lag Boma. Because I wanted to learn the Gemara as well. All right, let's go. Okay, so let's go back to that. Now, why is it that we shave on Lag Boma? So the concept very simply is that shaving the hair is removing the din. That means removing our connection with physicality, which is red, right? Removing our connection with physicality. That removing our connection with physicality, like you said, Lag Boma represents the removal of impurity from us, which is the physicality. So that's why Dafka and Lag Boma, that Atima, the Ola, which means Atima, which means disconnection, because we're connected to physicality, disconnection from spirituality. When the child reaches three and he gets his cognitive mind, more of his cognitive mind, so now he becomes more of a spiritual thing. So we remove his hair to show that he's disconnected from his only physical way of behavior, and now he becomes a more cognitive being. And that's why it's done on Lag Boma, because that's what Lag Boma represents. Now,
so why don't husbands never? Why don't
so there's certain parts of your hair, the pears, right, which don't represent that. The beard doesn't represent physicality. You can have a long beard, short hair. That's why you find that religious men have long beards and short beard represents doesn't represent physicality. Yeah, beard represents your wisdom. So therefore, you grow a beard. That's called a zaken. A wise man's called a zaken. Called a wise, an old man is also called a beard. It's the same lashon, right? Because that represents the chokhmah of a person that comes out in his beard. Okay, that's a different... that's already a different thing. But that's why people don't... You know, you find that certain people don't cut their beards. I'm not telling you guys what to do. You know, like tomorrow you guys are gonna... You know, it's gonna all come off, right? This part and this part. Maybe this part more than this part, but okay. But all right, whatever.
Yeah, talk to Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah. You guys do whatever you want.
Beard is a minhag also.
A beard is a minhag. It's a minhag. What do you mean by minhag? It depends how you cut it. If you cut it with a not you guys are gonna do that, but if you cut it with a blade, it's not a minhag. It's five lavim, right? But if you cut it with a kosher shaver, so you're okay. You have someone to check your. Huh?
Having like sages and wise people growing beards is just
a
minhag, right?
It's a minhag. It's a tzuras Yehudi. It's a form of Yehudi. You don't know. It's whatever. Don't worry about it. When you get married, you'll decide. It's the same things for that's for the wife and you to decide together. Anyway, let's go back now. The second thing that we see in Lag Boma is that it was the revelation of what's called the Idra Zutra. Now, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wrote the Zohar, and there was a big revelation of the what's called the Idra Zutra, which showed the connection of the lower, so to speak, the lower spiritual worlds to the higher spiritual worlds, and showed that connection. Now, why was that? That happened, so to speak, on Lag Boma. So this is something I heard from Moshe Shapiro. She said, Lag Boma, according to many people, it happens to be, when you think the Masorah is, there was a day that the Patira of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now the Patira of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is a day that he leaves his physical world and he connects to the spiritual world. So the day of leaving the physical and connecting to the spiritual is the day of learning how to connect from physical to spiritual, i.e. So that's the day where he wrote this Idra Zutra to show us how the lower spiritual worlds connect to the higher spiritual worlds. And that Gilui of his Torah, which was a very, very big foundation in Torah HaKabbalah, right? That revelation happened on Lag Boma, right? Of the connection of the physical world, the lower spiritual worlds to the higher spiritual worlds, was the day that he left the physical and connected to the physical, to the spiritual. You understand the connection?
So was it like through prophecy?
It was, look, all of Kabbalah, the pre-tzaddik says, was Malas HaNavua. It's Me'ein Navua. It's Me'ein Navua. It's not Navua. It's Gilu Eliyahu. It's the revelation of Eliyahu HaNavi. What does that mean? Eliyahu was a Navi. So it's some level of Navua. That's what Kabbalah is. Some level of Nebuah. That's also what the pre-tzaddik says.
And before the Zohar, there was like, there wasn't really Kabbalah or something?
No. There was always. Yeah. It was always Kabbalah. It wasn't written down till Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And then the Ari came and explained. It was always around. It was from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. We got part of Torah Shebaal Peh. And Chachamim used to learn it. Behesta. Right? But it wasn't written as a book. Written down until Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and that's what we're going to learn now. This is the Gemara and Shabbos. So you understand the how all these different concepts come together: the cutting of the hair, right? The gal aid, right? You understand all these things: the separation from the impurities, right? The cutting of the hair, the moving of the impurities, the dinim, right? The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the connection of the physical. The spiritual, because watch what happens when you remove yourself from the impurities. Now these days, from Lag BaOmer till Matan Torah, is about connecting to the spiritual level and reaching our higher spiritual level before Matan Torah, which is the full purity of Klal Yisrael. So it's a similar thing. Understand? Then we have the revelation. Oh, okay. Then we have the stopping of the dying of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Why the 24,000 Talmidim? Because these were the Talmidim who died because of Bilam, because Bilam brought back the connection before Galeid. And that's these 24,000 people who Klal Yisrael got reconnected to those impurities. And that's why, till Lag BaOmer, they died, because that's the time there's still impurities till Matan Torah, till Klal Yisrael tried to purify themselves, which they got by Lag BaOmer to that level. You understand? So all those things make sense. Now we're going to learn the Gemara. This is the Gemara on, guess what? Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Beis, in Shabbos, right? Just happens to be. Okay, so it speaks about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay. Right, so it says. Okay, so you have to understand this Gemara. I don't know if we'll finish it today. If we don't finish it today, maybe we'll do it next week. So it says. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. These are Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva after the 24,000 Talmidim. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Yativ. Right. The Yativ Yehuda Ben Gerim was sitting Yehuda Ben Gerim Gabai with them. Patach Rabbi Yehuda opened Rabbi Yehuda Va'ama and said, "Kama Naim, how nice is Maasehem." Shel umazu. How nice is the actions of this Ummah? What do you mean this Ummah? Which Ummah are we talking about? The Romans. You've learned this Gemara before?
Yeah, we did. We actually just learned it the other day.
And someone explained to you?
No, Chazara. No.
Oh, you're learning it in the... You learn it?
No. We had a shiur that kind of like pushed on this.
So we went very fast.
Okay. Tiknu Shvokim. They made Shvokim. They made marketplaces. Tiknu Ksharim. They made... bridges. Tiknu Mirchatzot, they made bathing houses. Rabbi Yosi Shatka. Right? So, first of all, Rabbi Yehuda said, praise the Romans. Rabbi Yosi was quiet. Na, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what did he say? Vama. Kol ma shetiknu, all what they fixed, lo tiknu ele letzorach atzman. They only fixed it for their own needs. Tiknu Shvokim, they made marketplaces, Lo Shibem Zonot, to place in them, you know, illicit women. Mirchatzot, I mean, there was trade being done. I mean, that was the only reason they did it? What's he saying here? Come on, you guys. Mirchatzot, bathhouses, La'aden Behem Atzman, to make them, feel good. Like La Den, how you say it today, jacuzzi, right? You go to Miami, you get a jacuzzi in it, jacuzzi, a swimming pool to pamper themselves, right? You get a jacuzzi in every, you go to your, I was in Miami, right? I never went, I stayed with someone. Yeah, every place has a jacuzzi, a swimming pool, and what's the other thing they have? And a golf, no, and everyone has a golf course.
But there's
tennis court, that's the one, the tennis court, right? Yeah. It's like a hot mikveh. But okay. La Denet Atzmam. Gsharim. Litol Mehem Meches. and what's it called, bridges to get meches, to get taxes, because people have to pass over somewhere there, so they can catch you over there, right? Dry land, you can go anywhere you want. And Gesha, they built it, and they tax you on it. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim, when Yehuda ben Gerim, v'siper divrayim, and told their words, v'nishmu l'malchut, and the Romans heard about it. Amru Yehuda sh'ila, yitale, Yehuda, the praised, will put him up. Yossi sheshata, Yossi that was quiet, yigle, will put him in galus. L'tziperi, to tziperi, Shimon shegina, that said bad things, yareg. Okay, so what's happening here? Why, you know, these are Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva, they're talking about the Romans, and each one's saying a different thing, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is saying what he's saying. And he's saying what's really behind their actions. He's telling you what's behind the thoughts behind their actions. He's telling the pnimia, the concept, the inner concept of their actions, right? So he's going for the inner kavana, the inner depths of what they're really doing these things for, correct? And he's very din. There's a lot of din here, right? There's a lot of, yeah?
Judgment,
yeah. He's judging them. But he's judging them in how he sees it and how it really is. Yeah? Okay. Azalhu v'brei, him and his son, Tashu be Midrasha. They went to the base of Midrash. Ko yoma havi maiti luhu de beitehu rifta. His wife would bring him bread. V'kuzu demayin, right? And a casket of water. That's it, bread and water, right? Now this, you know, meat, and right, three meals a day, right? We have it good. V'kauchi, and a bit of vegetables. Kitaki gzerata, when the gzera of the Romans was very strong, amalelebre, nashim datan kala, women that easily can be swayed and they'll tell where we are, alehem, dilma mitzarila, they'll hurt her, umagalilan, and they'll tell them where we are, azdu vatashi b'marata, they went into the ma'ara, itrachish nisa, happened in Nes, ivri lehu charuva, there was a charuva, right? Why charuva? And also charuva, you know, charuva is what? What does charuva mean? Carob tree. What's the lashon of charuv? Chorev means destruction, right?
Destruction.
Desolate, right?
That's a charuva, right? That's how we got
Syrians. Right, charuva. Ve'ena de maya and the mayan of water. Vahavu mishalchi minayhu, and they would take off their clothes. Minayhu is their clothes. Vahavu yatfi atzavarai, and they'd sit under the thing. Bechala in chol. Vekule yom, the whole day. Garsi, they would learn Torah. Be'idin sluye, lavshu umichsu, they would dress up. Umatsu and pray. Hada mishalchu minayin, then they take off their clothes. Ki heichi de lo livru, in order they wouldn't get bad, you know, they wouldn't get used up. Ve'itfu trisi shane, and they'd say 12 years with ma'arta. It's interesting that these 12 years and 12 years of Rabbi Akiva, right? Ata Eliyahu v'kama pitcha de ma'arta, v'ama man lode de ba yochai. Who tell ba yochai, the son of yochai? The Ma'at Kesa, and it's funny he's calling him Bar Yochai, the son of Yochai. Ubatel Gzerate, as Batel Gzerate. Nafku Chazu Inshi Deka Kauchi Vazare. He saw people that were doing Harisha and plowing. Ama Menichin Chaye Olam. They're leaving the world of Torah. Va'oskim B'Chaye Shah and the Oskim in the, you know, doing business, plowing and doing all these things. Any place they put their eyes, Miyad Nisra was burnt. Not Superman here, right? Right, why is this? Was burnt. Yatzabat Kov Amralem, Lachriv Olami Yatzat, you came out to destroy my world. Chizru Lamaratchem, go back to your Mara, Hadu, Azdu, Itfu, Trisa Yarchi Shatzat, another 12 months. Amin Mishpe Roshayim Ginim, Yud Beit Shchodesh, 12 months. Yatza. But Kol came out of Bat Kol Amra, Tzu Mimaratchem, come out of your Maratchem, Nafku Kol Heichid Havu Machi, every place they would see, Rebli Machi Rebli Ezra Havi Masi, he would cause refuah, he would heal. Rebbi Shimon Amar Bni, Dai LeOlam, it's sufficient for the world, Ani Vata, Bahadi Pa, right? Me and you. Bahadi Panya Devali Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Chazu Davi Saba, an old man. Davu Naki Trem Medani two klees of Asa of Hadassim. The right and running Bein Hashmashos Amalei. Hani Lama, what's these for? Lach Amalu Lichvot Shabbos, for the Shabbos. Okay, and it says Tiski Bechad. It's enough for you one. He said Chad Keneged Zocho, Chad Keneged Shomo. Amalei Livrei. Chazi Kama Chavivim Mitzvos Al Yisrael. We see how much beauty Mitzvos of Klal Yisrael. Yativ Datai Hu. They had Yeshiva Das. End of story. Right, very weird story. Right. Now, these 2 years we know from Chazal. These are the years he wrote Bazaar, Pnimi Satera. Right. Now, we can see his midah. Right, was a midah of din. You can see his eyes. The eyes looking and absorbing. Right, and he was killing. Right. So we have to, all these things have to be explained. And also when he was, we see that he was very much judgmental about the Romans. What is din? What does din mean? So let me explain to you a little bit of what din means. Din, says a Tosfos. You will learn that, maybe, right, we see this machlokas when the world was created. Was the world created in Tishri, or was the world created in Nisan? So Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan, and Rabbi Yehuda says the world was created in Tishri. Yeah? So comes Tosfos and says, they're both right. But machshava, in God's thinking, the world was created in Tishri. In Maisa, the world was created in Nisan. And it's brought down as far. Rabbi Yeshua was a Talmud of Beis Hillel, right? He's Chesed. Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Beit Shammai, Shmute, right? Shmama, Beit Shammai, desolation, destruction, din. So din is associated with machshava. What does it mean din is associated with machshava? What does it mean din? Din means to see ahead. If a person lives a life of din, purely our peace, strict din, how can he eat? He's here for Olam Haba. He's here, every single aspect of his life is to connect to the world to come, to the future, to the world of Machshava, to where he's going to be, to his tachlis, to his purpose. That's what din is. When you see the pnimius of your life, the innerness of your life, that's the Olam Haba, the ruchnius of your life, that's what you're living for. No one's living the tachlis, the purpose. None of us are living a piece of schnitzel. No one writes on their tombstone, I ate 200, I don't know, tons of, I don't know how much, a lot, that much schnitzel, no one writes that, or tofu, if you don't like eating meat, whatever, no one writes that there, and we do, believe me, we eat quite a lot of that stuff, right, but we spend a lot of time doing it. Alpi din, that's stupid to be eating, stupid to waste our time on that. You'd be better just taking a little pill and finish off with the job, you know, I'm sure they'll have it soon or whatever. Doubt it, the people like eating. But okay. But you understand what din is, yes? So when you see the pnimius of something and the inner depth of something, that's also seeing api din. So that was his midah. Yes? Now we could go through the five of these talmidim, and we could go through each of those midahs. And how they saw, obviously, is different midah. The midahs of these five talmidim represented different aspects Keter, whatever, they meant different aspects of certain things. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represented a certain midah, that was the midah of din, the lowest midah. It was the last Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Yeah? And that's why he represented that level of din. So now that he represented that midah, so that's what he saw in the Romans. He saw what they were really doing, what they were really doing all these things for. It doesn't mean they didn't have other purposes. But what was behind, the real behind, you know, their reasoning? Why they made shvakim? Why they wanted business? Because of illicit relationships, you know? Freudian psychology. Freudian psychology, right? Yeah, the psychology of the nefesh, of the basic human needs. And now when he went into Ma'ara, what was he doing? He stripped himself of his clothes. He went to Chol. What's Chol?
Sand.
Sand. But what's Chol? Why is Chol called Chol?
It's profane.
Huh?
Profane.
It's
not holy.
Yeah, you can't
do anything with it.
Yeah, it's chulin. It's nothing to. It's empty. Chulin. It's Chol. It's mundane. There's no kedusha there. It's so that, like you said, it's nothing can be grown there. There's no life in it. It's not life giving, right? So he was surrounded in something which was non-life-giving. He was like, it's like partial, it's removal from life. You understand? It's removal from physicality. Right? And when he was removed from the physicality, so all he was there was learning Torah, he was going into spirituality, the pneumius of the worlds. And that's why that was a method through which he was revealing the hiddenness of the Torah, the depths of the Torah. Right? Apart from tefillah, we see that he's still davened. Now, when he came out, after seeing the pneumius of the Torah, the whole tachlis, because what's Kabbalah about? Kabbalah is about speaking about the higher spiritual worlds. Because at those higher spiritual worlds, which are the worlds of reward, that's what Kabbalah is about. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through those higher spiritual worlds and the mitzvahs that we do, connects to the Jewish people. And the hanhaga that we have to the Jewish people. So now when he came out of the Ma'ara, all he was learning was about the tachlis, the purpose, where we're going to those spiritual worlds. You with me? Now he sees people sowing and plowing and doing all these mundane things. So with the eyes that he have, with the eyes of Din, they're Nisraf. They have no kiyum. There's no kiyum to their being.
Kiyum?
No establishment to their being. So they were Nisraf. They were burnt. You understand? They were eyes. Eyes can... You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like on one level, like he didn't see their purpose for existence?
There's no purpose for their existence. No purpose. What's plowing and sowing to do with the higher spiritual world where you're supposed to be? You're wasting your time. There's no kiyum to your life. Your life, there's no essence in life like that.
He was so good.
Yeah, because he was so good. But he saw, didn't mean seeing only that spiritual level. Now that's what he was, that's what he was osing those 12 years.
Yeah, I understand how that makes sense in the context of the story. But like, he basically like, was so, such a high level and knew all this Torah. So why didn't he know like, have relationships with men and this and that if he knew so much?
This was his midah, and this is, because of this was his midah, the 12 years, he was living on that level of spirituality, so he didn't see anything else. That's why he was told off about it. He was saying, go back and fix yourself. And that's what he did. He realized it was a chet, because he said, Mishpat Rishayim, he was followed as Mishpat Rishayim, 12 months in Gehinnom. So he put himself 12 months back, Mishpat Rishayim, and then he came out. And then he came back, and then he saw in a different light. Yeah.
So Din is, if Din is the next world, then why is Elohim in the physical world Din also? That seems like a contradiction.
No, Din, Elohim means, why is Elohim as a midah of Din?
In the physical world.
Yeah, Elohim, yeah. No, it's honest here. Elohim, what is Din? Din can be the higher level, and it can also be a lower level. When you see, because the pneumius of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Kulo Tov. It's cool, when talking about God. God, when we talk about God, his kulotov, that means his pneumius, his innerness, his inner essence is chesed, or higher than chesed, it's higher than chesed, the complete loving kindness, right? Outside, anything outside that innerness, right, is going to be more din. So when we don't see everything attributed to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're seeing a more din aspect of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Elohim means, it comes from Elev, these. Mm-hmm. When you see different forces in the world, and you have to somehow connect them to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't see the oneness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? That's still a midah of din. Mm-hmm. So a name, right? All the names of Kodesh Baruch Hu obviously aren't din, right? There's still chesed in that name. But Klapei Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a midah of din. Klapei Kodesh Baruch Hu, a shame of Kodesh Baruch Hu, which would be more chesed, like Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Was, is, and will be, shows that Kodesh Baruch Hu in every facet of time is the same Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that you're seeing him more in his essence. So since you're seeing him more as his essence, right? So it's more a shame of chesed. You understand? It's actually the shame of rachamim. But it's more a shame of chesed. You understand what I'm saying? Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu represents his inner essence, his complete loving kindness, anything that shows his inner essence, shows that you see just the Kodesh Baruch Hu, will be more a name of chesed. chesed, of loving kindness. Anything which you see less a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to imagine a Kodesh Baruch Hu with more shame of din.
Why? Just because din is separate? No. Din is separate?
Yeah, because no, because you're seeing less the essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're seeing many facets. So you're not seeing one facet. When you say Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're seeing one facet.
So you see, chesed is oneness and din is separate.
No, since separate. With regards to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that oneness, since his essence is loving kindness, so just seeing that oneness will be more associated with chesed.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, I get
that's that. What it means. Okay, now let's go back to here. Now, that's what happened with the eyes and the seeing, right? Right? Is this your understanding?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So now we go back, and this is a very important Gemara. The Gemara says that he walked out. And now he sees an Erev Shabbos. And now he likes it. He asks, what are you holding? Hadassim. Zachor v'shamo. Now what's Hadass?
Smell.
Right. Now you know you have a Hadass. It's against Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? Hadass. Myrtle leaf. It says three. Remember you have Meshulash? You have a, you know, on Sukkot, you wear Sukkot, you have a Lulav. You have three. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And you have three in the Lulav as well, right? So it's Meshulash, right? It's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the three...
That's why there's three leaves on the
stem. Yeah, it's balanced. All the media is balanced. Mm-hmm. It represents balance.
With the willows?
Right. Now, Shamor v'Zachor. Shamor v'Zachor means to guard the Sabbath day and to remember it. Right? Two aspects. You understand? There's two aspects. And it's Erev Shabbos. What's Erev Shabbos? What Shabbos represents? Shabbos represents Me'ein Olam Haba, the world to come. Erev Shabbos is the entry into Shabbos, is from the physical to the spiritual. He saw this old man running with the Adasim, Zachor v'Shamor. What smell? Smell, the Gemara says, right? Is smell. The Gemara says, what's something that the Neshama's ne'eneh from? That the Neshama is benefit from? It's smell. What do you mean the Shamas benefit from? The goofs also benefit. It's smell is the only thing that you have a spiritual benefit and a physical benefit from. It's a connection of the physical to the spiritual, right? So that's why it's on Erev Shabbos to Shabbos, you smell the Hadassim, right? You see many shuls, especially Sephardi shuls, because it's Gemara. They bring Hadassim and you make a bracha and you know, go going. Yeah, because it's Gemara. You bring and you make a bracha. It's also other reasons, but but they bring the bracha in. They bring this in. Why is this to represent? What fixed now? What changed? He now came to a realization, right? With Hadassim. Hadassim means this balance. That this physical world and the involvement in the physical is that what's going to take you to the spiritual. And you need that balance. The balance of being involved in the physical and elevating the physical to the spiritual. And that's what those Hadassim represent. That's what Erev Shabbos represents. That's what smell represents. Something which is beneficial to the physical and the spiritual. And now seeing that, had Yishuv Hadass. He now understood that yes, the purpose is to reach ultimately to those spiritual worlds. That's the purpose. That's what we have to reach. That's ultimately where we have to go to. But the way to do that is through the physical, through purifying, being Mekadish, let me say, Mekadish the physical, sanctifying the physical, and bringing it to the spiritual. And that's what Erev Shabbos does to Shabbos. And that's what the Hadassim represent. And that's what smell represents. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that gave him his Yishuv Hadass. Now his Das was Nacha. It could be rested. And that's the point of the story. The point of the story is that you have to be at a stage, and everyone has this. You have to be at a stage. You come to yeshiva. We learn Torah. We're in the heights of spirituality. We're learning, you know, you're learning, what are you learning now? You're learning Shabbos. You're learning the Gemaras. You're learning deep things. You know, ideas. Right? And then all of a sudden you go to China. Right? And you meet all these Chinese men. You buy, you know, your cheap shirts and you're, you know, for $200 you get like 14 shirts, what is it? Two jackets, right? Great, you know? Right? You can buy whatever you want, you know? They replicate everything, you know? How much? $5,000 watches for $50 or something? Or $50,000 watches? Whatever you want, you can get there, right? I don't know how long it'll work, but okay, yeah. So what? For $50, you can't go wrong, right? Yeah. But okay, you go to China, and these people, all they know is just physicality. They just, you know, for a piece of rice, they'll make you anything.
It's true, too, they have no religion.
Okay, well,
in their country.
Okay, I don't know too much about it, but anyway, the Chinese are different.
They work the rice fields.
Right? Yeah, but anyway, but because, now how are you going to cope? How are you bringing yeshiva to China? How are you bringing yeshiva to China? Okay, yeah.
The mirror yeshiva.
Okay, how are you to Manhattan, you go to Manhattan, right? Yeah, wherever it is, all a world of physicality again. How are you going to America? How are you going to bring the yeshiva, Mochon Yaakov, back there?
You have to go Chabad.
So you have to realize there's times. No, yeshivas are times. You have to know. You have to go through a period of din. You have to know where you're going. Which is the worlds you're gonna looking for? What those spiritual worlds you want to be creating? Your own spiritual worlds that you want to be creating. Your own Zohar you want to be writing. Your own light you want to be writing. You want to be creating. These times, you know, 12 years in the sand, you know, it's quite comfortable here in Mochon Yaakov, right? You don't know it goes sleeping in the sand at night, right? Okay. It's okay, but it's not like your nice apartment back there in America or the easiness of life there. You still, you know, it's not the same thing. Okay, the food's good. Maybe better than here than back there. Okay, I don't know. But you're spending that time here. You're reaching those spiritual heights. That's not how you're going to live when you go back. You're going to spend 12 hours a day learning. Maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. So how are you going to make that transformation? You go with that recognition of the hadas, the balance, that you're going to do something which is physical benefit and spiritual benefit. You're not going to do things which are just physical benefits. And if you do physical benefit, you're going to somehow connect it to the spiritual. And that's how you're going to enter Shabbos. That's how you're going to enter Me'ein Olam Haba. That's what the purpose of this story is, and that's what the purpose of Lag BaOmer is. Now that we separated ourselves from the physical, we come to the stage of we're going to work on our spiritual, and on Matan Torah, we're going to get the Torah. And that's Kulo Ruchani. And it's, like the Ramchal says, the Hashpa Gdola, the biggest influence that we can have to change us. How are we going to use it? What do we do on Shavuos? Cheesecake! Ice cream, I don't know what, all sorts of goodies, right? The day, you know, everyone is a machlokas. If you have kula lachem, right? You say chetzi lachem, chetzi lachem, or kula lachem. On Shavuos, everyone agrees you have chetzi lachem. Because now that you're given the Torah, you know to balance things out. You know to use the physical world to benefit your spiritual place in the future. And that's the purpose. But you have to know the stages in your life. And yeshiva is that stage where it's kula ruchani. Don't worry now about business. Don't worry now about what's going to be. Get your ruchnias. And then you go back. You might in the beginning say, oh, Rabbi, you get a phone call back, Rabbi, I don't know how. And a lot of boys do that. Rabbi, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have to work a 9-to-5 job. I'm not learning anything. I feel dead. How can people do this? I don't want to live this sort of life. I want to sit in yeshiva for another year. And then you say, 12 months back to Mochon Yaakov, right? And then we'll get you there. Then we'll balance you out. That's why you have a second year. No, I'm joking. That's why you have a second year. 12 months, right? Hard steiging. And then you go back. And then you see how to balance your life out. And to change your life. That, you know, whatever job it is, you can make it ruchani. So you get a certain type of job. You won't be spending 40 hours a week working. You have time for your wife and kids. You have time for your ruchnias. It won't be just a job which you're just finishing up the bank. You're filling up the bank with, you know, more investments to make for you. It's also you're filling up your ruchnis. And that's the purpose of the story, to understand what life is really about. And that's how we should be learning from it. Israel Hashem. Okay.
Good job, Rabbi.